Chatterbox, the Norwich talking newspaper. This is edition number 2032, recorded on Thursday, the 18th of October 2018. Call us on 01603 765 365, that's 765 365, with your news, views and comments. We always love to hear from you. Part one of Chatterbox will be read this week by Alison Aplin
and Don Cleaver.
But before we start, we have a special message from David Potten.
Hello, this is David Potten, and I'm delighted to tell you that the November edition of Chatterbox Let's Talk will follow straight after this week's Chatterbox. This month's Let's Talk offers you books, poetry and music. You won't have to cut down the ivy, and instead you can go and watch the pink-footed geese. There'll be some serious moments, with the Armistice commemoration and Terry Redhead's monthly moan, and some more cheerful times, with wrestling and Thomas the Tank Engine. And you will have to decide whether one of the Let's Talk letter writers is pulling the editor's leg. So listen carefully to the November edition of Chatterbox Let's Talk. It follows immediately after this week's Chatterbox.
Thank you, David. We'll have the usual news items from the evening news this week, plus letters from readers, information desk, and three features. The features cover a range of issues, from doormen and witches to plans for a technopolis. However, we'll start as usual with some of the stories making the news in Norwich this week.
A major story this week was the death of a major Norfolk figure, Baroness Hollis. We will start with the lead article from the Evening News remembering some of her achievements. The recent news that the Norfolk County Council plans to close 46 of 53 children's centres continues to reverberate, and there was focus on the new Universal Credit Benefit System, which was rolled out in Norwich this week. Finally, in this section, we are reminded of the dangers of cold callers, but we will start with Baroness Hollis.
Patricia Hollis's political mission was forged long before she even set foot in Norfolk. Back in the slum cottage where young Pat, as she was affectionately known, grew up in South Devon, she was shocked to hear of her father's dismissal from his job on a nearby farm. He was arguing for a pay rise for his fellow workers. The sense of injustice burned bright from that day on. As the tidal wave of tributes since her death was announced prove, it was for the working man and woman that Baroness Hollis fought hardest. It became her vocation to give those people on the very bottom rung of society a voice. Her first big opportunity came when she was still a girl and her parents moved the family to nearby Plymouth. Here she discovered the library. Her eyes were opened, and much of her teenage years was spent buried in books. This thirst for learning opened doors, and she was soon studying history at Girton College, Cambridge. After university, she spent time in the United States. She arrived amid great civil unrest and embraced the plight of those demanding equal rights for black people. Their brutal repression at that time saw those who were found to be agitating for the vote denied food vouchers. Baroness Hollis refused to ignore their plight. The inequality those people were suffering sparked once more the anger from her childhood, and she began a campaign to persuade shops and businesses to donate food. It was luck that when she finally came back to England, she ended up settling down in Norwich and into a life of academia. We applied separately for jobs in Norwich, Canterbury and Southampton, and we were offered all of them. So we chose Norwich, she told this paper in 2008. I wanted a city with a labour history, somewhere I could also put down roots and bring up a family. So we came to Norwich and fell in love with it. She began teaching at the UEA in the late 1960s and started a family. In 1988, she remembered the period as one of hope. People had a spring in their step. There was a feeling that anything was possible. It was a time for youth. That optimism, mixed with her fervent activism, meant when Labour lost overall control of the city council and began looking for new candidates, her interest was piqued. She stood in Higham Ward in 1968 and would, 22 years later, become Baroness Hollis of Higham. But first she would climb to the top of local politics, leading Norwich City Council through the turbulent 1980s. The current Norwich South MP, Clive Lewis, believes one of her greatest legacies originated in that era. "In Norwich, we were one of the last cities to defy the right to buy," he said. She understood very early on what this would mean for the housing stock of the city. "People often ask why there are such long waiting lists. Well, it'd be a hell of a lot worse if it hadn't been for the leadership of Patricia Hollis." The city council was taken to court by Michael Heseltine, who was pushing through the right to buy. "We knew the housing would be gone for good." Norwich City Council saw that council housing was such an integral part of what the city was about. "And we now have one of the largest stocks for a city of our size in the country as a result." Some people won't agree with that, but a lot of people now in this city in desperate need of decent housing either have it because of Patricia Hollis or would be in a far worse situation if it wasn't for her. Baroness Hollis leaves two sons, Simon and Matthew, from her marriage to UEA philosophy professor Martin Hollis, who died in 1998. She died aged 77, surrounded by her family. Of all the tributes, her partner Alan Howarth, Lord Howarth of Newport, made the most poignant. "We are hugely proud of Patricia, both as a person and as a politician. Her commitment to serving the interests of the poor and disadvantaged was unwavering and powerfully effective, and she was a great champion of Norwich, the city she led and loved."
Consultation over proposals which would see 46 of 53 children's centres closed is to continue after calls to suspend it were rejected. The public is being asked for views over Norfolk County Council's proposals to shut all but seven children's centres used by 23,000 families over the past year as part of a review of the service. The council has agreed to halve the budget from £10 million to £5 million as the contracts for the 12 current providers of the services come to an end next year. County Hall officers say services can be provided in the community and more of the families most in need can be reached. The Liberal Democrats and Labour had called for the council to agree to suspend the consultation at a full council meeting yesterday, amid claims it had not gone through the correct processes and was impenetrable to read. Parents of children who use the centres had joined a Labour-organised lobby outside County Hall ahead of the meeting. But the motion lodged by the Lib Dems and amended by Labour was defeated, with Conservatives voting against it. Lib Dem Edward Maxfield, who moved the motion to suspend consultation, said the proposals were motivated by saving £5 million rather than what was best for families. And Council Leader Andrew Proctor, who had earlier in the meeting revealed that he had not visited the children's centre, said, "Surely the best thing we should be thinking about is how we invest our money in services, not buildings." The motion was lost by 43 votes to 23, with one abstention.
The controversial universal credit benefit system is being rolled out in Norwich this week. And warnings have been reiterated that the shake-up could lead to more homelessness, debt, rent arrears and the use of food banks. The government scheme sees a bundle of income-based benefits, including job seekers' allowance, tax credits and housing benefit, merged into one payment. But the attempt to reform the benefit system has proved controversial. Great Yarmouth was picked as a pilot area by the Department for Work and Pensions, but there were problems with claimants going without income for weeks and landlords not receiving rent. and disabled people will stage a protest over the introduction of universal credit. Disabled people against cuts staged a protest outside the job centre in Pottergate. The monthly standard allowance is £251.77 for a single person and people under 25. £317 for 82 people who are single and 25 or over. £395.20 for a couple if they're both under 25. And £498.89 for a couple if either of them is 25 or over. There are extra amounts for eligible people with children and those with disabilities or health conditions. People's circumstances are assessed every month.
A woman has told that her fears for vulnerable people after she received a cold call from a man impersonating a council employee. Barbara Harris, 62, from Helsden, received a call from a man pretending to be an employee of Broadland Council on Monday afternoon. Using the name Derek Carter, the man told Mrs. Harris that she was due a £94 council tax rebate, but in order to refund the money, he first needed her bank details. Sensing something was wrong, Mrs. Harris hung up and phoned the council, which told her it didn't have any record of an employee called Derek Carter. Mrs. Harris, who is retired, said, "It sounded too good to be true. He was asking for my bank details, and I thought if you can take money from my account, then you can put it back. I'm worried an elderly person will fall for it," she said. If you have any similar stories, please contact Action Fraud on 0300 123 2040.